Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Cumming.
I'm Christopher Sweeney.
And I have a big confession to make. We have just recorded a large chunk of this Homo Sapiens Extra, and I didn't have my microphone, my little machine on. So we were just recording off my computer. So it's good. This lovely mellifluent sound you're hearing right now will not last very long because we're going to go back to the original recording. And until we get to the bit where the news of the week starts, that's when I realized my microphone was off. So I just wanted to apologize for my absolute dopiness. Thank goodness this is not my main job as a sound engineer. And I just do this for pin money. And Christopher, how are you? How are you feeling about my inadequacies?
Oh, Alan, please, God, don't worry. The whole point of Homo Sapiens is a fun, forgiving, wonderful home of a place. And who cares that you forgot to press record? I've done it millions of times. So I don't want you to worry at all.
Today I came out as a bad sound person.
Where are you?
I'm in Greece.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Oh, you're in Greece. Look at you. I wondered what that kind of Mediterranean painting was behind your head.
Look at that fresco, hey?
Oh, are the people who own the property you're in gay by any chance?
They're not, but they're gay friendly because there's lots of gays
here. Obviously, by their art. So this is an international, even more international than normal Homo Sapiens Extra. I've got questions. How was the flying?
The flying was great. And, you know, like people are very relaxed. There's no hysteria. Everybody was wearing a mask. And it feels like, do you remember like when you used to go to airports or on holiday, let's say 30 years ago, where it wasn't like airports had people in, but not scrums of people. And like beaches had like some people, but not thousands. It all feels a bit like that. It feels sort of quieter.
So it's back in the 80s or something.
Yeah, when I used to go to the Algarve.
The Algarve.
It's an island called Skopelos, where I got married, but also made famous by the fact that Mamma Mia was shot here.
Shut the fuck up. And there's nobody going there this year. I'm shocked. Oh, gosh. Can I just do a nice segue? Guess who I wrote to this week?
Cher.
No, Benny and Bjorn from ABBA. So
no
you know
way.
I got their, well, not their personal emails, but someone who works for them.
I kind of killed your segue, didn't I?
With my bag. Yeah, shut up. no, but Cher's obviously so immersed in ABBA now. She's like the fifth ABBA. She's like the ABBA-ka. But no, because I'm being the artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival in Australia next year, I've been talking about all the various things I'd like to do. And one of the things I thought, I'm sort of thinking, paring it down after this post-COVID thing. Let's just get someone up there with a piano and they'll talk and they'll tell stories and they'll sing songs. And you know, and that we heard that ABBA was kind of starting to do more music. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if ABBA or Benny and Bjorn just came and like did an evening of stories and then they would sing songs at the piano and blah, blah. So I thought, you know, and I read an article actually that said, but one of them said, I'm 75 now, and with COVID, I'd like get people to fly to me in Stockholm. So I thought, well, that's not going to happen. But anyway, it's worth a shout. So I did this sort of challenge Alan's team. I said to all my agents, managers, I need to get hold of ABBA. Who can get me to ABBA? And so it was so funny. I got all these various different competing agents things saying, well, I know, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, well, my dad, blah, blah, blah.
I love that.
So I sent off a letter yesterday to Bjorn and Benny's someone. So you I'll tell you what happens.
And listeners, please start a petition for them to go to Adelaide.
Wouldn't that be great?
Cabaret Festival. Can I say, I've got a couple of things to say here.
Yes.
One is that I love that your idea of paring it down for a festival is to invite someone from ABBA to perform. Super simple, guys. Here's my idea.
Yes.
Legends.
The other things I wanted to do was have an ice rink, and I wanted an ice rink in Adelaide, and I also want to bring a man who paints with his penis. I think I'm getting that.
Oh,
he's
well, so one is more environmentally friendly.
True. That's true. Guess what was your other point?
Oh no, my other point was, you need someone from ABBA to have a tax bill to pay, and then they'll come and do it. That's how you get these big stars, isn't it?
Well, maybe it's one of the girls then, because I think those boys with all those musicals they've written, or musicals of their songs they've written, they're going to be laughing all the way to them.
They've got more money than God, haven't
Swedish
they?
Swedish bank, yeah. We've got islands and everything.
Your hair looks amazing, can I just say?
It's so crazy.
I love
Luckily, these headphones are keeping it, but I've got this bits at the side are as long as the bits on the top, which is... it looks nice out now because I've got my headphones on, but if I take it off, it all goes. I look like the doc in Back to the Future. Me and my assistant Matt did a funny photo on Instagram because he had a little what do you call it? Those vests. What do you call those things in America? You call them vests in America. What do you call them? The thing that Marty McFly wore, and I was looking with overalls on and looking crazy. So we did an impersonation of Back to the Future.
I think he looked like Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. Do you remember his hair was aflame?
That's
I
right.
love it. Yeah.
Yes.
Can we have a look at some emails?
Yes. Oh, I want to say, I'm pretending to be a letter person, but I'd love the Armistead episode, Chris. That was so lovely. You and he were such a darling combo.
Oh, wasn't it just? It was so nice to listen back because it was a while ago, that conversation. I just loved what he was saying about tenderness and how tenderness left. He said he first saw that and then it disappeared and everything became butch, and how that line he said about being in San Francisco and feeling for the first time that there was people like you and you could be yourself and then go and eat a sandwich. I just thought that was
In the bathhouse that you could go and have lovely... And you could tell so much about someone in the dark.
Yeah, you could tell
whether someone was an asshole or. I thought that was really fascinating. And I just love the idea of like Armstead having fabulous anonymous sex and then going and munching a sandwich and watching telly. It's a one-stop shop.
So we had an email.
This
about,
is a great
this
letter.
Is funny. So this is from Philip. The subject says, was Jesus gay? The last BJ? Hey there, Chris and Alan. I'm loving this series for both of you. Laurie Anderson's comments about Jesus. There is a painting in the Academia Art Gallery in Venice that appears to show Jesus having a blowjob at the Last Supper. I don't know the artist, but I thought it ought to be better known among queer circles. Just putting it out there. And then Phil has put a photo.
As was Jesus that night, apparently. there's this picture, and it looks like a sort of an old fresco sort of thing.
Yes.
And there's a circular table and all the disciples around it. And there is indeed a man. Jesus has got one arm on the table. The other arm you don't see. And there is a man with his head in Jesus' lap. He's got one hand on the table as well. And you see the top of his head. He's either weeping inconsolably or he's giving Jesus a blowjob.
He is, whatever he's doing, he's going for it with 110%.
Or both. He could be weeping. You know, it can happen.
Blimey. Yeah, well, listen, we've all been there.
Tears can occur.
We'll put that on Instagram so you can all see it, everybody.
It's so good.
Lots of emails also came through asking what CBD oil Chris has been using. It's called Dragonfly from Boots. It's fine. I had some on the first night I was here, and then I had a really, really strange dream that was full of danger, and I can't remember what it was, but it was just intense. Oh, I might lay off.
You don't want that with this CBD oil. Better get some more in you.
Yeah, so, but it's Dragonfly, and I got the mid-range one, you know me.
Isn't it funny that just, what a crazy world we live in, that you can buy CBD oil in Boots?
Yeah.
Boots the Chemist, for those of you who don't know, listeners and in Britain,
good point.
It's like a sort of, I guess it's like a sort of CVS or something in America, like a big chain, it's a very, got a lovely warm family. It's like, you know, it's very hearty. Like you'd go and buy your Christmas, you'd get Boots. I would get Boots vouchers when I was a little boy for my granny.
Yeah.
And they had like, they didn't just have chemistry things. They had other things too. But Boots is now like a drug dispensary. They're like a pusher.
It's a night out now.
okay, here's another one. Well, I love this. Hello, boys. My name is Rory. And for the longest time, I've been ashamed of my sexuality and repressed any feelings that I thought weren't straight due to religious trauma. Gosh, again with the religion. It's just... Anyway, religious trauma and growing up in a very homophobic area of Alabama. Gosh, they're, well, double whammy. I was miserable until I found your podcast, which helped me embrace and accept myself and my true feelings. Thanks to you, I've proudly come out as bisexual to my close friends, my boyfriend, and most important, to myself. As another way of embracing my sexuality, I helped my beloved pet rat, Leo, paint the bisexual pride flag. He did this by himself with my guidance. I hope you enjoy these pictures of the little artist with his work. So there's a picture there's a of, photo. First of all, it's two photos. One looks like a piece of sort of a paper towel with all these dots on it, but they're in the colour of red, purple and blue, the sort of bisexual flag colours. And then there's this most darling looking little rat peeking out of a cage with this little paper towel in front of it that it's obviously stomped over in various colours, looking like a proud owner of this piece of art. It's just absolutely darling. He's got his little cardboard boxes in the background that he's obviously loving going into and eating.
So
I love that Rory in Alabama is having a sort of embracing of their sexuality and making their rat paint bisexual flags. Good on you.
It's lovely, and it's the first time we've had a letter from someone who has said, if I'm getting this right, sorry, Rory, write in and tell me if I've got this wrong, but Rory is saying that Rory previously identified as gay, and because of discussions we've had, has actually realised they're bisexual, and that's... we've never had anyone write in saying that before, so that's really cool.
That's really good.
We've got some review and some vegan advice for you, Alan, here.
Bring it.
From someone called Chris, so they obviously know what they're talking about. Dear Alan and Chris, greetings from the People's Republic of South Yorkshire. Love South Yorkshire.
Fabulous.
Always a joy and a stimulation turning on the podcast to hear wise and witty words. And wow, what a guest list. Thank you for introducing me to Hannah Gadsby. Being prompted to watch Nanette has ended up with myself and my deputy, I'm a primary school head teacher, completely rewriting our curriculum.
Wow.
Also,
wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Also, I noted your difficulties with Worcestershire sauce, and I'm surprised that nobody has mentioned Henderson's relish to you. But then what? It is Sheffield's closely guarded secret. It's a delicious what? Sauce and totally vegan, so save an anchovy and use Hendo's.
God, I've got to get this.
I would send you a bottle, but I think there may be customs and border control around Yorkshire for this particular product. But this doesn't sound like you have a problem with illicit substances. Oh, yours, Chris. Well.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Henderson's relish. Gosh, if only my assistant listened to this podcast, he could take a note right now to get me some.
Yeah, this is how you can check. Now,
I always say to him, have you listened? He goes, I hear you. I hear your podcast all the time. That's what he said.
Thanks, Matt. Well, I actually watched a piece or heard a piece on the radio about Henderson's relish, them talking about it about 3-4 weeks ago, weirdly. So how weird that Chris has written in and talked about it. But
what
people of Yorkshire are very proud of it. They're talking about how proud people are of it. And they did a little piece inside the factory talking all about it. They didn't say it tastes like Worcestershire sauce at the time, though. So.
Is it more of a pickle?
No, I thought it was like a Tabasco, which I'm sure Chris will say is absolute sacrilege.
But I always thought relish was more of a sort of a, like, you know, that kind of cucumber relish stuff you get here. Or whatever you call that stuff.
Let's buy some. Why don't we buy some and test it?
Okay. I can't wait to get this finished. I can get on that amazon.co.uk.
Okay, I've got an agony uncle question for you, Alan.
Bring it on. I feel very full of wisdom today.
Always. Hello. I've been shielding from COVID due to being clinically extremely vulnerable. I have a suppressed immune system response due to being born without a spleen. The lockdown restrictions in the UK have eased slightly. I'm single and I haven't had physical contact, let alone anything sexier, with anyone since February. I've been single for about a year after a 10-year relationship going awry. That's a whole other email. Any advice for getting back into the dating scene in a post-lockdown world? How do I ask the questions I need to ask to make sure I'm safe when it comes to COVID without it being a boner killer? Thanks.
Well, first of all, I think in both with your medical condition, or, you know, issues, and in the new world we live in, I think it's completely fair to be upfront about what you need and what you need to hear from other people about their COVID safety. I think that's very, very, don't ever feel ashamed or that's a boner killer, because You know, it's like safe sex. It's a new form of safe sex. And I think you should be absolutely that adamant about those things. And I think that, and I think, and that's what's really good, actually, when you're being frank about stuff like that. I think that is really sexy, because it's like basically saying, there's no disputing that I want to shag you. Here are the conditions. And I think that's, I think that'd be really great. So that's my first point. Over to you, Chris, for point number two.
Point number two is, I think that it is, you want to date someone in the end who is compassionate. And anyone who has some compassion will understand that you have some things that you need to run by someone to ask. And if anyone's going to be weird about that, which they often are on dating apps, etc., they ain't worth your time of day.
Absolutely. And I'm sure in this internet-y digital world, there must be places you can go to find people who have the same health concerns, but also want to have their needs met. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure there must be... what do you call it? Chat rooms or whatever. Do they have chat rooms now? I don't know. Is that such a granny, like blogs?
Yeah, good.
There must be a blog. But there must be places. I would just think that you can do a little research and find that out. Yeah. But I think the most important thing is like, don't be ashamed of having to be frank. It's actually a really a positive thing. And I think it's actually, you know, as Chris says, tells a lot about a person's response to questions like that about their compassion.
I agree.
I've got an Agony Uncle question. I recently went on a stress... Oh, I'll do that with my teeth in. I recently went on a slightly stressful joint home visit. Oh, hang on. I get it. Oh, look, it's like... It was the word joint, Chris. It sent me into a CBD frenzy. I recently went on a slightly stressful joint home visit at work with a social worker. A challenging client, but we dealt with it well together and it felt like a bit of a bonding experience. He was so lovely and we got on really well. He was really funny and well-groomed. But as he's Spanish, I couldn't tell if he was gay or just charmingly European. I love that. Do you remember this weird thing in a magazine? It was gay or blah, like gay or hipster, gay or, you know, Mormon. It was just hilarious. Anyway, our paths won't cross often at work, but I would like to ask him to meet for a coffee and see if we could be friends. I haven't lived in this area for long and I'm keen to make some mates. Is it rude to ask if he's gay? I don't usually vet sexuality when making friends, but as we are unlikely to run into each other, it's difficult to know how to casually find out. I don't want to give the wrong impression or come across as ignorant. How do I maneuver this? Well, first of all, I think it's absolutely fine to ask if someone's gay, don't you? And I think there's ways to do it. I think you can just chatting and go, hey, oh, do you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a partner of some kind? That's what I do. When I don't know, I sort of give them the whole option of tick here. And it is difficult to tell these days. I really think it is. And especially in Europe, it's much harder. And surely he could find out from another person.
Well, it's a she, actually.
Oh, well, surely she could find out from someone else at work. But I just think ask. And I think it's lovely to be... maybe you're worried that if you ask him and he's straight, he'll think it's... Is that right? Am I confused again?
No, you're not confused. It's a bit of a confusing question, because she then sent it's not on here, I've noticed, but she sent a qualifying update saying that she is straight.
She's worried that
if it's rude to ask people, gay people, if they're gay.
I think it's totally fine. If you do it in a way that is ticks options and also just that you just genuinely don't know. I think it's totally fine. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, because it is people are worried about offending someone, but actually it's really nice to be asked, and no one will ever take offence, I don't think, if you're doing it from the right place, which you are, because you want to be mates with them.
Yes, and he seems lovely, and he's a social worker, so he's, you know, surely got some kind of skills to deal with a question like that, and I'm sure he's been asked it a lot before. But ask him. So that I see you're trying to make sure that he's gay so that he doesn't think that you're into his pants.
Yes.
Is that right? She wants to have a gay friend.
Yeah. Don't we all?
Ask. Don't we all? Ask.
Gays are great. If you see one, grab them.
So here is some LGBT news. Can you notice the sound quality has improved? It's because Alan's turned on his microphone again.
Hello, everybody. Greetings from the Catskills. I'm all... I'm here
Isn't
now.
It lovely to hear Alan in 3D. Now, my friend Lottie Jeffs, who also has her own podcast called Some Families. She's also a writer. She has a podcast called Some Families that she hosts with Stu Oakley about queer parenting. She's written an article in Grazia called About Time Kids TV Sees Its First Lesbian Kiss. So there is a kids show called The Next Step on teen dance drama. It's a teen dance drama on CBBC. And there was a gay kiss between two women, which I think is fucking cool.
I think that's so great. And also, I mean, when I was reading the article, I thought, gosh, it's so good that this is happening. But isn't it awful that we have to make a song and dance about it? That kids have been, are so used to straight kisses, straight interpretations of romance. And yet this is the first time that that's actually been a same-sex one has been shown on television. And I know there's lots of kind of, you know, everyone's a bit wobbly about the whole idea of sexuality in children, but get, you know, guess what, it's when you're a teen, it's all around you. So I think to have, especially actually at that time in people's lives, to have positive images of diverse options that you have with your sexuality, it can only be a great thing. And I hope that people continue to do this.
Yeah, and there's that thing about, like, you need to be it, you need to see it, you know, and to know that you can be in a loving queer relationship. In this case, it's two women, but, you know, you need to be seeing it out there and not feel that it's something that is within you that you need to hide. And I think it's also really nice that I find it weird that, like, in, I can't even remember if this is completely true, but when I used to watch Neighbours when I was a kid, you know, you would see the straight parents kiss hello, but if that was two women, it would be considered sexual. And it's funny how if it's straight, it's considered love, but if it's gay or, you know, in beyond, it's considered sex.
Well, that's the whole thing about, the whole thing about sort of, you know, acceptance, and I'm using my inverted comma fingers when I say that, is that, you know, everyone says, oh, you must be so, it's so great, we've come such a long way and everything. But actually, people, yes, it's nice that people, we have all these rights now. And actually, but people are still grossed out by the idea of gay sex, both by men and women, especially men. And that's something that you've got, I think we've got to say, yes, we put penises up bums. Mm. That's part of it. And I think that's something that we've got to kind of keep normalizing so that people don't, you know, kind of it's deny it. And I think that's this is what it's all about. It's about denial. And I'm actually really shocked, because we know when I was there, when I did that show Instinct, and I was the first ever gay leading character on an American network drama. And I thought, for fuck's sake, you know, in Britain, I've seen so many shows where there are gay leading characters over the years. But so I'm kind of disappointed that this is the first time it's happened for a sort of a kids show. Isn't that interesting?
Also, it is really interesting. And I think it's weird that, like, lesbianism has always been considered titillating because it seems to be...
see what you did there?
It sort of is in service of erotic ideas around for straight men, whereas, you know, gay male kisses were always considered gross and they didn't titillate anyone. Mm-hmm. It's not like they are deemed to be sexually exciting for straight women. I don't know, it's interesting. So it's nice to see, I feel like it is widely discussed that lesbianism is sort of always further down the rungs because I don't know why. I think there's a bit of misogyny in there somewhere.
Totally. And absolutely. And also, I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, in America, they have this thing, you know, where sex is only about penetration of the vagina or the anus, I suppose. And so that's why, you know, in the whole Clinton sex scandal, it was, he said, I did not have sexual relations with that. He meant he did. And he actually, a lot of people say, well, actually, that I believe that that's true, because that's some people, unless you actually get down to vaginal or vaginal or anal penetration, the rest of it doesn't really count. The rest of it is, guess what it's called? Fooling around. And so that, I've always found that so ridiculous that you have a phrase for the vast majority of sexual engagement, which is connected to foolishness. And then also that you have, you know, if you take the argument forward, that logic, that means that lesbians technically never have sex.
Yeah. Also, so, like, why do people get so lost in the, you know, the detail? It's like, you're either doing it or you're not. Who cares?
Right? I know.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
UK Black Pride celebrated its 15th birthday this week. And it had
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, and it had to move online. I went last year to the actual physical event, and hopefully we'll be back next year.
Yes.
Alan.
There's a lot of those Pride online things happening. I did actually, someone who wrote a letter to this show
yes.
asked me, John from Perth, he asked me to do Perthshire Pride. I did a little message for them.
Oh,
so
amazing.
It's interesting. And the thing I said in my message was that the great thing about being a queer person is that we find each other.
Oh,
and
I
it's
love that.
Obviously things like Pride make it easier to find each other, of course, but it is a thing that I think that's we've had to sort of put out messages, sort of subliminal messages to each other in our sort of DNA actually yeah. to come together.
That's lovely.
So it's a nice thing to see that people are doing that freely and happily.
Now, have you got a wormhole this week? I have one. It's short.
Oh, fuck, I have a wormhole. So I watched this documentary about Alex Salmond, the former First Minister of Scotland, who had these accusations of sexual assault and rape, and it's been a huge story in Scotland. And Kirsty Work, the lovely Kirsty Work, my old chum, she made this documentary about the trial. It was called The Trial of Alex Salmond. Mm-hmm. And it was a really fascinating, it's been very controversial. It's been really, you know, obviously it's a very controversial subject with the sort of Me Too and also the political situation in Scotland and the kind of thing about conspiracies, blah, blah. But I started kind of, and I thought Kirsty did a really great job. I've always thought she was just a darling and an amazing journalist. And so I went to look at this interview thing that she'd done about it, and I went to another thing, and I went to like, I tried to find this interview she did with Margaret Thatcher.
Ooh.
Which is kind of, I think, what started her career nationally, actually, because she was working on a program in Scotland. She interviewed Thatcher and she fucking took her down, and Thatcher went for her afterwards, not physically but, you know, vocally, I mean verbally. Anyway, I went through all these things looking for interviews of all these great interviews Kirsty's done over the years. Because, you know, that's the interesting thing in Britain. You, someone who does a political show will next be talking to Madonna or, you know, an artist or something like that. It's really, yeah, it's great that that sort of thing is, you know, the news has a wide spectrum. It's not just politics. Anyway, then I don't know how I got here, but I got to, in 1991, there was a television remake of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane starring Vanessa and Lynn Redgrave. And I cannot wait to see it because the pictures just look so hilarious. And I just love the idea of those two, you know, tearing up the scenery. So that was my wormhole. Went from Alex Salmond to a remake of Baby Jane.
I love it. My wormhole went from my mother-in-law to Hillary Clinton, really.
there's not that mean like Helen McCrory as your mom.
Yeah, well,
Helen McCrory could totally play Hillary Clinton. It's not that big a jump.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, because that was basically why, because it was my mother-in-law arrived on the island, right? And she arrived by boat. And she got off.
Of course she did.
Yeah, of course. And so she got off the boat and she was walking along the pontoon, and my husband took a picture of her. And then texted it, and they put it on his Instagram saying his mum has arrived. And we all, like all our friends have, like, we joke how she's scary. In the photo was in the background, which we hadn't noticed at the time, was someone jumping in the water with their legs in the air. And one of William's friends commented saying, is that person jumping in the background someone running away thinking that the QC is in town, she's going to prosecute them? And so I commented underneath, no, they were just in the way. Like, she'd thrown them in the water. And we were like telling her about this and laughing and blah, blah, blah. And then I was remembering, do you remember that Tumblr called Text from Hillary, where people would post pictures of Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yes. And her sunglasses and everything, texting away on her black.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they would do like, so they would post a picture of like Hillary Clinton texting someone, and then Joe Biden and President Obama like writing, "Hey Hillary, how are you?" And then she would just reply, "New phone, who this?" Stuff, like. Anyway, that was, and then we started looking through all of those, and it was just funny. That was my little wormhole.
But how did you get to that from your mother-in-law?
Because she reminded me of that. She reminds me of Hillary Clinton in that sense. Of,
oh,
like,
I get it.
They were just in the way. You know what I mean? It was the sort of thing that they would say. And
collateral damage. Hillary. Yes.
Yes. Anecdote roulette, Alan. Someone has written in Mark, and he says he wants Alison Moyet.
So I'm going. I have to fail you because I don't have a thing about an anecdote about Alison Moyet. I don't, and that's my second fail of the week because I forgot to switch my machine on. But also in the letter, the man who sent us Mark, who asked if I did have an Alison Moyet, he did tell us this hilarious thing that Alison Moyet, bizarrely, is the cousin of François Sagat, the French, you know, sort of porn star, model, actor, performance artist person that I'm obsessed with, who I think is, and I met him, he's such a darling. And they're cousins. And she said it was so hilarious that on her Twitter, she said it's so weird, like she's looking at her Twitter and all of a sudden her cousin's cock just appears out of nowhere on his bum sticking in the air. And then he wrote back and went, "Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, I forgot you could see that." I think it must be funny to be a porn star's relation and you just sort of forget that you're going to just see them getting rammed occasionally in the middle of your, you know,
occupational
Times.
Hazard.
Honey.
Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant, I have known for a very long time. He was so nice. In 1994, when I directed my first short film, it was called Butter, and he was in it. He took a part in it. Him and Helena Bonham Carter were a couple in one scene, and he was so lovely of him. And then... you know, I knew him a little bit, but then I worked with him in Spice World, the movie. That was our, it was so hilarious because we were like name above the title. You know, that's the thing in films. So if your name above the title, it's a big deal. So it was like, it went like, you know, Emma, Jerry, Mel, who's the other one?
Victoria.
Victoria. Richard E. Grant, Alan Cumming, Spice World, the movie. So hilarious. Like we were honorary Spice Boys. But so we did that film. It's such a laugh. And then, yeah, and he used to come into, and he just, the thing was, he just had a book out, a kind of gossipy book of stories and things, but quite gossipy. And he used to come into my dressing room, my trailer. I had a massive trailer on that. I had a bath in my trailer. I mean, who's going to take a bath in a trailer? I mean, where was that water been? But anyway, I had a bath. It's I wouldn't like it now, but at the time I thought, oh, this is fun. So he would come into my trailer and we would have lunch together, and he would always kind of mine me for gossip. I thought, I'm not telling you, you'll put it in your next book. Anyway, just recently when I was in London doing Endgame, I got, you know, you get fan mail sent to the thing and sort of there's a pile of it and you sign it. And there was this pile of photographs and it said signed to Peter or something, like six photos of Richard E. Grant. We're all Richard in different films and things like that. And I did a video of it, a video on my Instagram. And I was like, you know, weird, I'm not Richard E. Grant. So, and he got in touch and said, I'm terribly sorry. Like he was apologizing because of some dopey fan. But yeah, he's a sweetheart. And also, I remember that one of the things about him, he said he has a fridge in his bedroom so he can have orange juice in the middle of the night. I read that somewhere once. It's always struck me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great anecdote roulette for me. Review of the week. We've got, do you want to read the first one, Alan?
Yes. Definitely one of my favorites. That's the headline. I genuinely love the podcast. Like we thought, you weren't genuine. But anyway, I loved Will and Alan is such a wonderful addition. I really enjoy the relaxed conversations you two have, teasing each other and Alan's cheeky giggles. Even the ads make me smile. It's lovely to listen to your chats and interviews. A connection to like-minded people whose experiences are so different to my own feels more important than ever in current virus/political circumstances. You both come across as informed and comfortable in your opinions, but also open-minded to what your guests bring to the conversation.
The beauty of editing.
A difficult balance. A difficult balance, which I really appreciate, as I never want to be too old to learn about / from others. Please don't change. Gosh, thanks so much.
Bless. And then
that person.
We've got one here from Holly Brownlee. I was recently completely lost hiking, climbing up a rock face in the Italian Alps. And I was alone, out of water, and a little frightened and needed an uplifting boost. So I popped in my headphones and played this podcast. It just so happened to be the week Laurie Anderson was on, and her dulcet tones were very welcome alongside your own delightful musings. That's us, Alan. The most recent episode with Armistead Maupin was a true delight, added to an already excellent volume of episodes. As I was a huge fan of Tales of the City, I was thrilled to see he was on as a guest, and he added to a long list of interviews that provide thoughtful and entertaining listen. This podcast is like a spaniel, fun, affectionate, uplifting. 5 stars! I mean,
a spaniel. I love that.
I love that. I do feel like Tigger sometimes.
Tigger.
Who are you going to give the t-shirt to, Alan?
Oh God, Sophie's choice. You know, I think I'm going to give it to the first person, Nell. I think it's Nell Bell is her the name on the thing.
Wow.
Because I think is interesting about her is that she says that thing about how a connection, you know, it's important in these times to listen and hear experiences that are different to her own. I think that's a really great message, that we should all do that. We should all listen to, not just listen to the same things that we think of. And I don't know, I just found that touched me. And I think she deserves a t-shirt for that comment. Are they still large t-shirts? Because we've only got large left.
We've only got large in stock at the moment, but you know. So please write in to hello@homosapiens.com and we will send you a t-shirt. And that wraps it up for this week, Alan, doesn't it just?
Well, you go back to the beach, Chris. I feel I can hear the sort of like Greek little yachts tinkling in the background and those little things on the masts.
Yes, I think it's probably the rickety aircon machine, but you know, similarly romantic.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're in Greece. Have a lovely holiday.
Thank you. And it's been lovely chatting to you. It always has. And it's been lovely chatting to you, listeners. Please write in hello@homosapienspodcast.com or @homosapiens on Instagram.
And we'll see you next week when our super special guest will be Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters. The lovely Jason Sellards, a.k.a. Jake Shears, is our guest, and we had a lovely, lovely chat with him. And you are good. If you don't know him, you're going to adore him. And if you do know him, you'll love him more.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Bye for now.
Take care. Sorry for my inadequacy. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.